All right, I got to hear that again. Y'all ready to praise God some more? Yeah. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I got to have y'all excited because we're remembering some amazing stuff tonight about our God, right? Okay. All right, tonight we're in Malachi 3:16 through 18. And I entitled this message, Genuine Remembrance is the Key to Faithful Living. Okay? As we remember what we've learned so far from God's messenger Malachi, we see that God came to his people who had basically forgotten some or all of what God had done for them. Can somebody turn those lights up a little bit? Or is it just me going, are they not that bright, or am I just dull? Can't see very good. Is there any way to get me some more light? Oh, thank you. I got some old eyes. I'm 48 years old now, you know. Yeah, okay. Let's start over. As we remember what we have learned so far from God's messenger Malachi, we see that God came to his people who had basically forgotten some or all of what God had done for and through them. Their forgetfulness had manifested in improper love, improper worship, improper leadership, improper relationships, and it also affected their morality, their ability to proclaim God's message because they had been contaminated by the world that they were supposed to be the one impacting. They were robbing God of not only tithes, but they were robbing him of his rightful place as ultimate authority in their lives. See, when we're not good stewards, we're robbing God of his authority in our lives. With this spiritual erosion came doubt as to if God was really fair in his justice, as it seemed that he was allowing evil to prosper and righteous to suffer. Last week we read in Malachi 3:13 and 14 that there were even some who said harsh things against the Lord. And can you imagine God's people saying harsh things against the Lord? They were saying things like, it's futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call arrogant blessed, evildoers prosper, those who challenge God even escape. See, we had this group of people saying, it's futile to serve God. That was last week, some of the verses. Basically what they were saying was, man, this isn't worth it. You know, this serving God is not worth it. And they were also saying, by saying that the arrogant are blessed and the evildoers prosper, that, are you sure, God, you know what you're doing? Don't you know what they're doing? So we had a group of people over here saying, God, what's going on here? This is futile. This is not worth it. And then all through Malachi, this is just something amazing that Butch kind of brought to our attention in our meeting this week, was that it's just amazing that all through Malachi, God would proclaim, okay, this is what's going on. The people would respond, and then God would respond again, saying, this is how you defame me, or whatever, you know. But in this situation, God was silent. I mean, I figured God was silent because that's the dumbest thing you ever heard in your life, huh? That it's futile to serve God as God's people, that it would be futile to say that. I mean, here's no response from God, you know. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when we say some dumb stuff like that, whether we say it with our mouth or we say it with our lifestyle and the choices that we make, God is silenced because he's thinking, man, I ain't going to talk to you no more because you haven't done the last thing that I told you to do. Okay? So there is this side of God that says, well, I'm only going to talk so long. Okay? There's silence from God. And he says, I'm done talking. Talk to the hand. You know? I mean, the hand of judgment, you know. I'm done. You know everything. I've already said everything, you know. And so and as I was looking at this whole series, you know, because next week, this week he's not telling us a lot of things to do, and next week he's talking about genuine fear. I mean, we've had the luxury to have heard and had time to respond to this message over the past 8 weeks. We've talked about all these things, you know, that have happened. Some of y'all maybe conveniently missed on days y'all knew there was something coming up that y'all didn't want to deal with. You know, maybe y'all did that. I don't know. But we've had 8 weeks to respond to these things. These people had heard it and at one time and were in the process of deciding what they were going to do about it, you know. Some of them said, it's futile to serve God. There was that group that said that, you know. And so I ask you tonight, what have you done with, or what do you plan on doing about what we've been taught already so far, you know? I could probably quit talking right now and say, y'all just deal with the stuff we've already talked with. How are you doing on that? You know, how are you doing on your worship? How are you doing on your giving? How are you doing on your leadership? All these things, you know, God has already been, how are you doing? What are you doing about it? Did you just disregard God? Okay? And if you did, is there silence from God from you right now? And that happens, okay? And we were, and here's one thing that I know for sure out of this series so far is that you've heard God's word being proclaimed. So the cool part about the way we did the Malachi series, we had all these different speakers. You know, you've had Howard and Mark and different ones, David and myself and Fernando, and just different ones that we had come in. And so what you heard wasn't anybody's opinion. Y'all have heard the word of God. Okay, God's word has been proclaimed because that's the difference. Not what any of us say, it's God's word. Okay, and we were watching a show. Anybody watch Touched by an Angel? Anybody watch? Man, it's been so long since I watched that. We were watching Miss Dixie. She's old school. She still watches it. Yeah. but for some reason we were watching it the other night. I don't know. I haven't watched it in so long. And that angel Monica said something on there that when she said it, I just wrote it down. I don't know why I wrote it down. You know, then I got to study, and God said, that's why you wrote it down. And here's what she said. If y'all don't know about touched by an angel, they come in and sneak into these people's lives, and then all of a sudden, when the time is right, they reveal themselves as an angel and give them a word from God. And this is what she said. She says, you can lock out the world, but you can't lock out a word from God. And even as cheesy as that accent was, Monica, she speaks like that. I guess she's from Ireland or whatever. The impact, that was just for comic relief, all right? Because the impact of what she said is very, very strong, okay? You can lock out the world, but you can't lock out a word from God. See, when God wants to get your attention, when God wants to speak to you, when God wants to grip your heart, you can't do nothing about it. And that's what happened right here, because we see right now we've got this group that said, man, it's futile to serve God. It's futile. Why even do it? God, do you even know what you're doing? And now we pick up in where this week's message is, okay? Right after the silence of God, we're picking up to what this week's message. Malachi 3:16-18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I came up, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And so we go back to verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And then when I saw that word then, I'm like, finally. Finally, some righteous people began to act like righteous people, okay? Because where they been all this time? Because all the talking that we, the conversing between God that we see are the people that God's getting on to. Where are the righteous people in this, you know? Where are the people of God that says, wait a minute, God, we ain't doing that, but they are, you know? Where are the righteous people? I want to suggest to you they were probably doing some of the same things, and this message just hit them a little different at this point. The silence from God, they said, oh, no. You know, these people, and I really believe that the reason that they were together and they talked with each other, because they were trying to get together and say, God, I'm not with them. I'm not with them, one that are opposing you. I'm not with them. Have you ever been around guys like that? I mean, in a group, man, they do start coming up with some jokes and stuff like that. I've done this before. And they say, what are you doing? I said, man, if it strikes, I don't want to be nowhere near you. You know? And I've done that. And so I really think these guys, no. These guys, God, finally, I get what you're saying. Finally, those who feared the Lord began to talk with each other. They said, I ain't with these guys over here. And at some point, even in a church like ours, the righteous people have got to stand up. Okay? And so, why do they get together? Because there is some groups in numbers. It's a little easier to get together when you got some people than it is to just say, I'm the only one standing up for this. But there was a group of them that got together. It could have been few. It could have been many. I can't tell you how many it was. But I would suggest to you it's probably not a whole lot of them. Okay? And they needed each other for an encouragement and accountability. And they knew that they couldn't do it on their own. So they were getting together. This was this group of people. And so what do you think they were talking about? I suggest that they were probably remembering things about God that gave them confidence to follow him. You know, because they start remembering things, wait a minute, these guys are saying, man, God's powerful, God's this and God's that, you know. But we're going to talk about these things. I think they were looking at who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. And I think that's something that's going to help us as well. But maybe they were talking about something similar to Psalm 40:1-10. Y'all turn over to Psalm 40. because they had God's word too. The Psalms were written way a long time ago, so I'm sure it's very possible that they even had this same psalm, you know. But when I read this one, it was just amazing because when we get in times where God's working on us, we have to say, hey, God, I want to remember you. Let's just read Psalm 40, some things about God and these particular people. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of my slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And, you know, these were the people that God had delivered out of captivity. You know, so I'm sure they were saying, you know what, God, you delivered us. I remember that. I remember when you delivered us. And he said, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to false gods. And I'm sure they just were looking at those people that they were involved in. And they were thinking, you know what, I'm not going to worry about what they do. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, so they're looking in this psalm, and I saw so many cool things in here. And in verse 5, many, O God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you were I to speak and tell of them, they could be too many to declare. I mean, and I'm sure they were just sitting there thinking, man, you know, guys, God has been good to us. I mean, God has been really, really good to us. And God, we can't, just like Matt just said, man, God's been too good to us. I have to worship him, you know. And so they're making this decision that they have to do this, okay? God cared for them. Sacrificing offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. He said, when my ears are pierced, I mean, how many of y'all are just blown away that the God of the universe speaks to you? Yeah. Let's say amen. Come on now. How many of you are blown away that the God of the universe speaks to you? Amen, okay? And he does. He does through services. He does through songs. God speaks to us in so many different ways. And it should blow us away every time we hear a word from God. Okay? It should blow us away. And it should force us into faithfulness. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my Lord. I desire to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. I mean, it's written about me in your scroll. See, God chose us. How many of you does it blow away that God chose you? While you were yet sinners, he ran after you. God loves you. And those are the kind of things that we have to remember when we're trying to make choices that just don't make sense to us, okay? And I desire to do your will, oh my God. How many of y'all has God changed? Your will and your desires and the things that you do. I mean, how many of y'all have God changed? Man, those are the kind of things that we got to remember too. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. See, God wants to use you. And he intends for us to stand for him, okay? Even when, in false teaching, whatever, anything that comes around, God still wants us to stand for him. So he delivered me, cared for me, spoke to me, chose me, changed me, and he wants to use me. And then I really feel like that those guys said, God, what do I got to do to change? Man, this is all the stuff that you did. I recognize that we haven't really been living up really all that good, but God, what do I have to do to change? The conviction fell, and there's a wake-up call on them. And I really believe, as we read in these next verses, that God was obviously pleased with what he heard, okay? Because I want to tell you right now, God is pleased with repentance. Amen. When you decide to change your way and you begin to move into the other direction from the direction you were headed in your sin, God is pleased, okay? And I think we see that in the next part of this verse. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And the Lord listened and heard. And I want to tell you, there's an amazing attribute of God that we see right here. God is always listening. Bible says he's omnipresent. He's everywhere, okay? Everywhere all the time. See, and we realize as Christians that when we ask him to come in, he's inside of us. That's one thing. But you know what? God sees and hears everything lost people do too, Okay? God is everywhere. And so he heard and listened what was going on. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. And he don't only hear all things, he remembers all things. You know, in this scroll, it's possible these people, because that's the way they communicated and they wrote down things back then, they would get on the scroll. It's possible that they could have got together and say, man, we got to write some of this stuff down. God is awesome. You know, it could have been that. But I know one thing. God don't need a scroll to remember anything. If anything is ever written down, like his word or on a scroll, it's for us. Okay? It's for us to remember. It's for us to go back to. It's for us to use. Okay? So anything written down is for us. But there is a deal called the Book of Life. In Daniel 12:1, you don't have to turn, I'm going to read through a few of these. It's talking about the end times. It says, but at that time, your people, everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. See, God has a book of remembrance of who is going to be his and who is not going to be his. God remembers the faithful. God remembers the faithful. That's got to be an amen. God remembers the faithful. All right, if you're faithful, God's remembering. He's not going to forget you, okay? And God will not blot their names out of his book. In Revelation 3:4 says, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. Amen. See, he who overcomes, and that tells me that it's going to be hard. You know what I mean? And there's going to be times that we have to overcome. I mean, we're not overcoming if everything is just hunky-dory, right? He who overcomes, it's going to be hard, but we have a God on our side who loves us, and we need to remember that. Also in Revelation 20:12, he said, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. See, God judges everyone, you know. But we realize that in genuine judgment, that judgment for the righteous person shouldn't be a bad thing. See, because God is going to judge us by what we did, you know. And he's going to say, man, you know, this is good, this is good. Enter in, you accepted my son. But he's also going to judge the wicked as well. And he says, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasure possession. See, God's already declared us his. See, that's a future promise right there. He says, they will be mine, okay? It's not just these people that he's talking to. He's talking about me and you. When we decide to choose God, we're his, okay? He's not going to take our name out of the book as long as we go through Jesus, okay? And he says, because in the day when I make up my treasure possession, and I'm going to tell you, God treasures faithfulness and righteousness. He treasures it like y'all would treasure anything else. God treasures your faithfulness and the fact that you accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as the most valuable thing to him. Okay? And again, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And there's going to be a difference. See, so what I see here in this group of people is I see faithful people. Okay, we're talking about those. But then we talk about the ones that we've talked about before, unfaithful people. And so you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, I'm not as faithful as those over there, but I haven't told God it's futile to serve him yet, so I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you're in the middle, you're unfaithful. See, you're either faithful or you're unfaithful. See, there's no lukewarmness in this deal. You are either faithful or you're unfaithful, okay? And so that's why we're here tonight, to find out areas in our life and that refining that we talked about. That's why we're here, to say, God, where do I need to work to be more faithful to you? What do I need to remember about you? What do, okay? You're either faithful or you're not. So how does all this apply to us? Well, I want to say that we're pretty much like those folks, okay? Because we are a forgetful people. Y'all agree? Yeah. All right? We'll get a miracle one day and forget about it the next. You know what I mean? God will save somebody in our family, our church, our job. He'll heal us from some kind of disease. He'll heal us from an addiction. And in the next minute, something come up. We're like, man, where are you, God? We'll forget what God has already done for us, you know? Man, we treat him like he's a performance God. God, what have you done for me lately? Man, it's ridiculous that we get that way. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying that I haven't thought that way myself, but I'm telling you, it's wrong. Because God isn't a performance God. He's not a genie in a lamp. He's not there to just do your every whim, okay? When One thing about it is if we would just remember, because we're good at remembering what we do, okay? If we were as good at remembering what God does as we remember what we do, well, we'd be awesome, right? Ladies, I'm gonna give you a little test about men, all right? There's a couple of things that really y'all shouldn't say. Never and always. Those two words are pretty tough. I mean, because you'll go in and you'll say something like, man, you never take out the trash. You know, you never play with the kids. You never home on time. You never this. You never that. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you want to spark the most amazing memory in your life, you start telling a guy he ain't never done nothing. Okay? The same guy that can't remember his own kid's name will remember the last time he put that trash out. Okay? He will remember. But hey, and it probably the first time he'll remember what you were wearing. Okay? But that's just the way it is because we remember the good that we do, okay? And us guys, we're that way, all right? I get a good memory when it comes to that, okay? But even if God didn't do anything else for us for the rest of our lives, salvation should be enough to motivate us to follow Him. See, God don't owe us anything else. I mean, this name it and claim it theology that man, if you claim this, God's going to bless you. Hey, He might. But He's not obligated to, because God already saved you. That's all He's obligated to do, okay? That's the God I serve. That's the genuine God, okay? And so the key to faithful living is to genuinely remember God. And so as I was thinking about, man, how God, what is going on? How can we relay this? What kind of questions can we ask that we'd get our mind around this thing? And so I thought, I said, all right, God, what makes some people hear God and respond, and other people in the same service, same word, same everything, same music, decide to walk out of here and not deal with God, not even want to know God? What makes somebody do that? I don't understand that. I really don't understand it as a Christian. Now, understand, if you're lost, God's drawing you and you really don't understand. Some of the things that we say are foolishness to you, okay? I understand that if you don't have the Spirit of God. But if you claim to have the Spirit of God in you, what makes someone say, you know what, God? Nah, I think we'll deal with that later, you know, when God's dealing with you. What makes somebody do that? And what makes somebody say, God, man, just search me, find whatever. What's the difference? There's got to be a difference right there. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose my notes. All right. I want to suggest to you that those who do and those who don't, the difference is they don't have a picture. Whoever does right, they have a good picture of who God is. Okay? And those who don't really don't know who God is. They need a clear picture of God or you'll never obey Him. Okay? Not what we think God ought to look like, but a clear picture of God. See, one thing about God, and I hope you understand, that God always has you on His mind. He always has me on His mind. He remembers us. He has never forgotten us. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He always remembers us. All right? And I want to tell you another thing about God. God is a covenant God. See, when God makes a promise to you, He keeps His part even when you don't. See, God's a covenant God. You want an example? In Genesis 9:15, God made a covenant with Noah never to flood the earth again. Okay? God made this covenant with Noah. And they got off the boat and he said, I'm never gonna flood the earth again. I'm not gonna destroy the earth by flood again. And so you'll know this truth. Every time you see the rainbow, that's gonna be a sign that I'm not gonna do that. Okay? And you think, well, what does that have to do with me? See, God made a covenant with Noah, a righteous man. He made that covenant with him. But it was an unconditional covenant. And that means it don't matter what you do, what you think, what you say, how you live, God ain't never going to flood the world again. Okay? Because God made a covenant with his righteous man, Noah. And so, when you see a rainbow, you know what you ought to think? The grace of God. The grace of God that He isn't going to flood the world. He's not going to judge the world in that manner. Every time you see a rainbow, you should think about the grace of God. And most of y'all probably think about the pot of gold at the end of it, you know? I mean, our world has even tainted something, the most beautiful picture of a covenant with God, and tried to filthy it up with the love of even getting more money, okay? Every time you see, I hope when you leave here, if we get to see any rainbows, you think of the grace of God on your life and on everybody else's, okay? But that's a covenant. And God's covenant with Abraham, God's a covenant God. God's covenant with Abraham applies to believers today through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, Abraham, God made this covenant with him that in Galatians 3:14, we read, He redeemed us in order that blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might see the promise of the Spirit. See, he gave it to Abraham, but we get it because we accepted Jesus. And in Galatians 3:8, he says, the Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. The Gentiles are us, in case you didn't know, okay? We are Gentiles, because we won't win, unless you're a Jew, you know. We're all Gentiles, all right? The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. See, many of y'all might think that the gospel just came around in the New Testament. God in advance announced the gospel to Abraham years and hundreds of years ago. When he made his promise to Abraham, God was thinking about you. Okay? Because God is a covenant God. He made a covenant with a righteous man because Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And that's all we got to do. We just got to believe in Jesus. Because unlike the covenant with Noah, the unconditional covenant, there's a condition to the Abraham covenant. Okay? And that condition is the only way that you get to Abraham is through his seed, Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the only way that you're going to get to God. And that is it. And it's also a covenant of total consecration to the Lord. See, back then, everybody in his family had to get circumcised to prove this, okay? Now, we have the circumcision through Jesus. I mean, we get that, okay? But I'm going to tell you, we have to be totally consecrated to the Lord. Because he's not just your Savior, he's also your Lord, okay? That's the God we serve. That's the covenant God that we serve, all right? Another thing about God that helps us know who he is, is God is a holy God. And some of these things, man, I'm going to tell y'all, there is absolutely no way that I can explain to you the holiness of God and the sovereignty of God, what we're going to talk about next. And those are series, and those are debated things. Half the people, and there's so many people debate about the holiness, what holiness even really is. Man, there's no way I can explain holiness in its in-depth to you here tonight. But here's what I want you to know about the holy God that I'm talking about, one that you can remember. That God, the reason the word holy means he's separate. Okay, God is not like you. God's higher than you. God is above you. So quit trying to figure him out. Okay, quit trying to figure God out. You can't do it. Okay, you cannot figure God out. So quit trying. Another thing about God's holiness, he cannot fellowship with sin. See, God, because he's holy, he's separate. He cannot fellowship with sin. That's why he has to deal. That's why he sends prophets. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit. Because God wants to fellowship with you, and he can't do it while you're sinning. So that's why he wants conviction to rise on your heart and you to say, and you not to say it's futile, but you to say, God, yes, I want that. Okay? And God's holiness puts him above us, and we are to bow down to him. Okay? We are bowed down to God. God is not our equal. Out of all the attributes of God, holiness describes him the best. See, we know God's mighty. We know God's loving. We know God is awesome and all these things. But nowhere in Scripture do I hear somebody singing, mighty, mighty, mighty is God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is God. But you do see even the angels in heaven sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, is our Lord God Almighty. So that's the attribute that God wants you to see of him. Because anytime they say something three times in a row, they want to make an emphasis on it. God wants us to know what's going on. God is holy, okay? And then God is sovereign. This is the one a lot of us have problem with, okay? Really, it boils down to the fact that he does what he pleases because he's God, okay? In Psalm 24:1, says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Okay, so everything is God, the world and all who live in it. That covers everybody in this room. Okay, so God, everything is God. And this, I think this is an area where some people have some problems. There's no such thing as luck, good or bad. See, God's sovereign. God knows what's going on. He either causes or consciously allows things to happen in our lives. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I cannot explain certain circumstances to you. But I can tell you what, there's a God out there that has it in control. Has it in control, okay? Y'all turn over to Romans 8. Let's start first in verse 28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who are called, who have been called according to his purpose. And then again in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Man, there ought to be some amens coming from all these, man. I'm going to tell you. Because when we can't understand what's going on and God allows circumstances in our life, these are things we need to be quoting back to ourselves. You know, that God works all things together for the good for those who are called according to His purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep, as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. Yeah. Verse 38, for I am convinced, this is Paul. Now I'm going to ask you, are you convinced? I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Come on, everybody. Help me out. Amen. Because we have to believe that. I am convinced. Are you convinced? Because you're going to get an opportunity to say you're convinced, because something's coming up the road, okay? You're going to have that opportunity. And so, for us to genuinely remember God and to be faithful, man, we have got to get that in our heart. And I'm going to give you all another quote out of that book, Our Awesome God by Tony Evans. I've been reading it, and there's just some really cool stuff. It says, when you come face to face with God, He affects your self-esteem. You discover you are not what you thought you were when you see God. We do not take living the Christian life seriously because we do not know who God is. See, there's some truth in that. When we don't do, okay? So, as I said earlier, kids sometimes forget who is the parent and who is the child. When they forget that, they will try anything. So every now and then, the parent has to remind their children who's who. We are like children at times. We forget who God is, so we try anything. If we are going to be serious about walking with God, we have to understand who He is and who we are in light of Him. We must go low because He sits high. We must hallow His name. We must worship Him seriously. We must stop playing church. Stop playing Christianity. Most people hurry to get to work on time because they don't want to upset the boss. But they come to church saying, as long as I get there before the benediction, I'm on time. When God sees us treating our bosses better than we treat Him, He says, you don't know who I am. See, God's the Holy One. See, when we begin to make provisions for our earthly bosses that we won't even do to God, man, God is not pleased with that, okay? But faithfulness is just a step away, okay? You can get right back, all right? You can get right back. But see, God's not your equal, and He's not your wish granter. And some other things. And so that's a little bit of who God is. Of course, that's not all who God is, but those are some things that maybe we can grab a hold of and say, man, you know, God, this is who You are. And we also need to remember what He's done, okay? See, we need to keep a record of when God does something in our lives. You know, writing things down, that scroll, we need to keep records of what God has done in our lives. And in experiencing God, there's a part in there where it talks about the spiritual markers. You begin to remember the things that God did, and you mark it somehow. See, because in Joshua chapter 4, after the Lord stopped the Jordan River, when Moses had died, they're finally getting to go across the Jordan River. It's at flood stage, and God says, y'all need to cross the Jordan River, you know. And God said, the Bible says when they put their foot on the water, the river stopped, okay? There was something about that action, that faith action. And God stopped the flow of the Jordan River, allowed them to get across. And this is what He said in chapter 4. He said, the Lord told Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. See, God wants you to remember, because there ain't no way they're going to get them stones without God, all right? The river is at flood stage, all right? There is no way they were going to get them stones without God, okay? So God says, take them out of the middle of the River Jordan and right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down where you stay tonight. So these stones are to be a memorial to people of Israel forever. See, He already knew they had a problem with forgetfulness. The reason that they had to wait so long to get to the promised land was because of forgetfulness, all right? And so God told them, take these stones, put it up, and when you see them stones, that needs to remind you of what I did. And not only just you, it needs to remind everybody else. And so we need to begin to figure out how to put some markers up in our life so we don't forget, okay? I mean, I actually did that at my business. I mean, I bought my brother out, and I was like, man, God, borrowing money and stuff. I just, at one point, I felt like he told me not to, but then he actually told me to, you know? And so I was going, it doesn't make sense, God, but I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Man, I took me some rocks, and I just piled them up next to the door. So every time I walk in that door wondering about paying the bills, I'm thinking, God, all right, God, there's the memorial. I know you told me to do it, you know? And so some of y'all may not even agree with that, but I don't really care, because I'm going to tell you, God told me, okay? And you may have some theological thing about that, but I'm going to tell you, God told me. And you can't change my mind, and can't nobody else change my mind, because I didn't want to do it no more than anybody else, okay? And that's the kind of stand that we need. We got to put those hard stands down and say, God, you told me to do this. But the reason most of us don't are afraid to say God told us to do something is because we ain't listening to God. I mean, we live our lives, we don't read, we don't come, and even when we come, we're not listening, you know? God speaks to his people. And another thing, our faith needs to be our own, okay? We must have personal encounters with God, just like I just said, okay? Turn over to Judges chapter 6, 11 through 24, and I want to... I'm reading a lot of scripture tonight because I'm going to tell you, y'all need to be able to go back to God's scripture and get some encouragement, you know. And I read some long scriptures, but, you know, I'll tell you, God's word speaks way better than Alan does, okay? And so I want to read some stories. These stories, we've been in the Old Testament. God's word is filled with instructions for us to remember him, okay? So Gideon, we're in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. And Gideon, some of y'all know a little bit about Gideon, maybe not, okay? Starting in verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. See, Gideon was threshing wheat in the wheat press because he was scared of what was going on. They didn't want anybody to steal it, okay? So when the angels of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He calls Gideon a mighty warrior, and he's hiding. You know, he's hiding threshing wheat because he didn't want nobody to steal it, all right? And Gideon says, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever felt that? Man, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. See, he's saying, man, my ancestors' faith. That's the only faith he had. Okay, he said that. He said, where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? And then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in all my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, and he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he explained, ah, sovereign God, God, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the Lord is peace. To this day it stands. And see, Gideon, when the Lord first came to him, all Gideon had was his ancestors' faith. Okay? And he said, God, show me that you're real. And you know what? God wants to show you that he's real. So you can ask him that. And God, and Gideon did this, and God did this in front of Gideon, and he became real to Gideon, and he gave God a new name. And I'd like to tell you that ever since then, Gideon never doubted God, but just a little bit later, Gideon said, man, are you sure of God, you know? And so God still understands us, even in our unbelief, okay? So we got to have a faith that's our own. And the very last thing is that we must be convinced that God loves us. Do you know that God loves you?
Do you know that God loves you?
I was going to read another passage, but it's fairly long. I think I'm just going to close out. But I want you guys to go home and write down Isaiah 46, 3 through 13. See, because it says in there, from conception, God thought about us. And He's walked through us, even in our old age, okay? And it says He's God and we're not, okay? There's some really good stuff in there. But I want you to be convinced that God loves you. And you know what? There's no more powerful verse to tell you that God loves you than John 3:16. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to quote that together, all right? We're going to quote that together because, and what we're going to do, what I've learned in Living by the Book is that familiar verses, you need to read slower, okay? Everybody knows John 3:16, but we're going to read through it slow. And I want you to let this verse impact you, okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Did you hear whoever believes in Him? That's you, that's me. We got to remember that God so loved us that whoever believes in Him will not perish. And I want to close with, we've talked about who God is, we've talked about what He's done, and we're going to finish in Malachi 3:18 of what He will do. And it says, and you we'll again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. See, you see here it says, and you again will see. See, I really believe these people had seen a distinction between the wicked and the righteous before. And they had crept back into complacency, they had crept back into disobedience, and then with God saying, you know what? You're again going to see the difference between the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. See, many of you have already seen the difference, but you've turned from it. You know, some of you have decided, man, there is a difference in the blessings of God, but you know what? The ways of God just don't make sense to me. They're a little hard because I've got to do things that I don't want to do. But the ways of God are the only way that you're ever going to get into true fellowship with God. Okay? That's the only way it's going to work. You can't take a principle of God and mix in a little bit of your ingredient and expect a good result. Okay? Because you're contaminating it. Okay? And all through the Bible it talks about blessings for the righteous and curses for the wicked. Okay? And I think we need a little bit of encouragement here tonight. It's not only what God will do, but it's what God can do. Okay? We got to remember what God can do. What can God do? What can God do? What can God do? Anything. Do y'all believe that? What can God do? Anything. And He's going to test your faith to do anything. Because there's some anything going on and some lies in here tonight, you know? There's some anything that we need God to step in and take care of, okay? And so we're going to have a time of invitation. And I hope this has been a time where you can just evaluate, man, where am I with God? What's going on, you know? And I still really believe that there's going to be some here that leave tonight and say, no, God, I got this one. I'm going to try it on my own again still. You know, I'll get back with you when I need you. Well, see, but the key to faithful living is to genuinely remember God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for these people. God, I thank You for Your word. God, and I ask, God, that You begin to work on hearts here right now, God. I pray that Father, any of us, Lord, that have maybe drifted a little bit from You, Lord, maybe we haven't been as bold to say that it's futile to serve You, Lord, but, Lord, we've said it by our actions, by not showing up, Lord. We've said it by our actions, by not letting Your principles come and rule our life, God. And so, Lord, I ask that this time of invitation, God, that people would deal with You, Lord. That, Lord, if people need to get saved, Lord, they would get saved, God. And many of us have all the information. In this society today, we know that we have to come through Jesus, Lord. And thank You for Abraham, Lord, and that covenant that You made with us. Lord, so if anybody's never accepted Jesus here tonight, Lord, I pray that they would do that tonight. Again, God, we love You, and I ask, Lord, that You just do Your thing. Amen. We have a time of invitation, and I mean, if you want to come respond to God, I mean, if you've been away from God and you want to just come and pray, I'll pray with you. You want to come pray on your own, but you don't need to come up here. You can be between just you and God, okay?